Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Hour number three live in Los Angeles. Undisclosed location. It's The Herd. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, back on FS1 Monday. Nice little respite. Nice break. Staff was able to get last couple of days. It's a great NFL weekend, by the way. Fantastic. Also, some college football games of note. I do not think we'll see the upsets we did last weekend, like Oregon State beating Oregon. I don't think that's that big of an upset, to be honest. You watch the second half of that game. Is Oregon State better than Oregon? I don't know. Looked like it. 9 yards a carry for about a half an hour. I'm not sure that was an upset, because I think Jonathan Smith is maybe the most underrated college football coach in the country. One game USC played this year, one, where I thought they got outcoached. It was in Corvallis, especially in the first half. USC was off, and they attacked the right areas to attack. Good to be here today. I had a guy on a couple hours ago, Jeff Howe, Athletic. I'm on the Athletic every day reading somebody. And he was talking about the quarterback market is going to be really lively. Brady may go to the Jets, San Francisco. The Aaron Rodgers one's fascinating, and this is not a criticism. It's really fascinating. He turns 39 here like in 2 days. So think about how valuable hitting on your picks are. So if I told you right now, so Green Bay trades Aaron Rodgers wherever they trade him, and they get a first and a second, I think he's certainly worth that. Maybe this you get a first this year, and a second next year. I'm just throwing it out. I have no insight on that, but that seems reasonable because he is 39. So Green Bay would have two firsts and two seconds. If they hit on just a wide receiver and just a tight end, they hit. Forget the other two picks early. They go defense. If they just hit on those two, they would have Christian Watson emerging as a really good player. Romeo Doubs looks really good. They hit on another receiver and a tight end. They already have a capable tight end. They have Aaron Jones. And PFF gave them a ranking top three O-line in the NFL. Wouldn't you move off Aaron Rodgers? And because you're not paying Jordan Love anything? In the free agent market, you could fill any hole. Any hole. Because Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Aaron Jones, and that O-line, that's significantly better than what Justin Fields walked into. Significantly better than what Joe Burrow walked into. Trevor Lawrence walked into. Mac Jones walked into. David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, if you just hit on, let's say they go and the first pick they get, one of their two first-round picks is late first, they make a trade with somebody, and they take Jordan Addison at USC, who I think is a late first, early second receiver. He's a very mature kid. He'll come in and play. I don't know what his ceiling is, but he's going to be productive very quickly. He could end up being sort of an Emmanuel Sanders, like smart, productive, ceilings lower, but really productive. Christian Watson, Jordan Addison, Romeo Doubs, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari. You can move off Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb, because Aaron's gone, and maybe Alan Lazard. You're going to have all, even with a dead cap hit for Aaron Rodgers, you're fine. Dead cap hit hurts a lot less when you get a quarterback and you're not paying him anything and he can win games. You don't feel it nearly as much. So the Packers, I'm not saying you have to move off Aaron, but theoretically, if Jordan Love over the next 5 weeks, you're like, he is mobile. He's like 6'4 and mobile. And I watched them and you watched them. And he was snapping the ball off. He looked significantly more comfortable than a year ago against Kansas City. We know he's big and we know he moves well. That's not the issue. It's, you know, does he have the confidence? Can he sit there and read the field? It's the Zach Wilson issue. Zach's got a good enough arm. Doesn't look like he can read the field. So it's you know, and there's a time Jeff Howe came on earlier and I asked him. I don't think Aaron leaving is that zany.
Let's say what we saw the other night was real.
Yeah.
I would very strongly consider moving Aaron Rodgers.
So would I.
Because again, this team, we thought they were going to be, I thought they were going to be better defensively this year. And I know they've had some injuries. I thought they obviously would be better offensively. So this is a team that we didn't realize was probably starting to rebuild. And it's not going to be a long-term thing. It's not like a Chicago Bears rebuild or a Houston Texans rebuild. It's not like a multiple-year thing. But it's one of those things where if you flip Rodgers for a couple first-round picks, maybe, and then some, then you start the rebuild. You know you're not going to contend for a Super Bowl next year, probably. I mean, unless Jordan Love is like Patrick Mahomes, and we just don't realize it. But, you know, you really start to turn the clock toward 2024, and you've got your quarterback of the future in place, and then all these draft picks start to, like, you know, creep toward their prime.
Yep.
You've got yourself a great situation.
This isn't college basketball. These kids come out of college 3 and 4 years. They're 23 years old. By their second year, Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson could be 75 catch, 6 touchdown guys next year. I mean, they could be like real players. You've already gone through 4 years of high school, 3 or 4 years of college, second year NFL. You got like a decade of football. This is not like you spot a guy in high school basketball, 1 year, 30 games at Carolina, pros. That guy's not even able to drink in the hotel bar. You got a kid. Even if he's Ja Morant, he's a kid. Needs time. Physically, mentally. NFL guys come in at 23. They're ready to play. Get them a year in the system. That's why a Jamar Chase, the really special guys, they pop immediately. But I do think there is something about Aaron. He's a lot of work. And maybe you've never experienced this, but anybody in their late 30s on has experienced what I'm about to say. You work with somebody that's really talented but difficult and prickly, and you always feel like you're walking on eggshells, and I think that's Aaron. And I think it was Favre at the end. There's no owner. It's the quarterback, Packer quarterback syndrome. A lot of power. I mean, who's going to push back on Aaron? Brian Gutekunst? Come on. He wears Dockers. It's not happening. All right. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. Alexi Lawless from Doha.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alexi Lawless, former defender for the United States men's national team and sometimes a verbal defender of Greg Berhalter and our club. 94 and 98 World Cup performer. Alexi is joining us, Fox Sports analyst from Doha. My friend, how are you? You've been wonderful. How are things?
It's good, my friend. Greetings. Yeah, this is incredible, man. This is it's been a really interesting tournament on the field, off the field. You guys have seen our incredible Fox Sports set that we have down here in Doha, Qatar, and it's been great, and it just rolls on, and especially when it comes to this U.S. team. They're doing us proud, and it's been fun.
Okay, second youngest team in the tournament, Netherlands next. What will the match look like? You know, there is the advantage. We're playing as underdogs, house money. Yeah. Could they get tight? I've seen this at March Madness. All tournaments are like this, Alexi. The favorite maybe leads 1-0 late. They get tight. Hell, Iran almost came back to score on us. Do we have a shot here? My guess is we do.
Absolutely, we have a shot, Colin, and for a number of different reasons, not the least of which is this is a very good U.S. team. And, you know, while, you know, back in the 1900s, back in the previous century when I was running around, it was just kind of a happy to be there, and certainly getting out of the group was an accomplishment, and the rest, to your point, was kind of gravy. That's not the way that this generation was brought up or the way that they look at this opportunity. And, yes, they are young. Yes, they are inexperienced. And, yes, on paper, the Netherlands is a better team. But to your point, the U.S. also, in a strange way, gets to return to what made us kind of successful in the past, which is that underdog role and lower expectations versus the Netherlands team. I think if you ask Netherlands, they recognize that they are coming up against a very good team. I don't think they're going to take us lightly, but I also think that this U.S. team, whether it's Christian Pulisic, whether it's Weston McKennie, whether it's Matt Turner in goal, are going to relish this opportunity, and it is an opportunity against a good team, not a great team. So if the U.S. were to beat the Netherlands on Saturday, it would not be this historic, life-changing type of moment. Would it be great and would it be celebrated? Absolutely. But then we have to also come to the realization at a certain point that we should expect our team, and this team in particular, to be ready for these types of situations and to absolutely give them a game and do more than give them a game. You know, go out there and get that win, not be stupid. Be mature, and they are mature. They know what the World Cup is right now, and there's plenty of talent. There's plenty of depth, and they're feeling it. They're feeling it right now.
So, listen, I like Greg Berhalter. He took over the Titanic, the CONCACAF Gold Cup, Nations League. They qualify. They get out without a loss. He's cleaned up the defense. I see a lot of positives. I have not loved the substitution patterns, but I've tried to add context to that, Alexi, by saying generally you get three. Qatar, you get five. So yep. It's a different substitution pattern. You are playing guys. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you're getting minutes to people looking down the road. I don't love what I've seen from Shaq Moore. He's been a bit overwhelmed. Is that a fair criticism that the substitution patterns or choices have not been ideal?
100% it's a fair criticism. And, you know, I give Greg Berhalter a B+ for so far. Now, like you said, all the things that he's done over the cycle, that's all fine and well. But ultimately, we knew, and he knows, he's going to get judged in the World Cup. Well, you go undefeated in the group stage. You let in one goal on a penalty. You have two shutouts. And you really were the better team when it came to playing the best team in that group, which was England. Having said that, it's not been perfect. To your point, the substitutions, they have not been good, and they have not come in and fundamentally changed the game in a positive way. If anything, when you're talking about a Shaq Moore, and I think more importantly, the Haji Wright substitution the other day, it was mind-boggling in terms of the way that those guys came in. And not only did they not add anything, but I think that they really took something away, and it was really problematic. So he's got to get those right going forward, whether he's using all five or using all three. The other thing, we've talked about this before on your show, set pieces. They are so important, and this team has been abysmal. They have a set-piece coach. They have an actual coach whose job it is. He's got one job, set pieces, and this team has not been good on set pieces. And who knows? Maybe it's that one set piece that's the difference between this team beating the Netherlands and not beating the Netherlands. So they better find a way to fix that right quick, because in the course of the game, in the flow of the game, they might not get a lot of opportunities. But those set pieces, they are the great equalizer.
Yeah, no, they are. And to your point, that's the second criticism. They've been sloppy. There's a lot of questions about Gio Reyna. And I would say, listen, on a young team, he's like the teenager. He just turned 20. Is it possible, there's rumors and speculation about the relationship, Berhalter, Gio Reyna, I swear to God I read something about a father involved, I don't know what it is. My takeaway, he's a kid, it's the World Cup, is it possible that Greg just doesn't feel quite yet comfortable with him?
Look, Greg Berhalter's job is to get the best collection of players on the field. Not the best players, but the best collection of players on the field. Now, Gio Reyna might be one of those ultimately in the moment, but this is, as you said, a young player. This is a player that has shown that he has been fragile from a physical perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, you don't mess with it when it's going well, and it is going well. Would I like to see him at some point get on the field? Yes, but Greg Berhalter, just like any coach in any sport, he's not going to do something that's detrimental. This is not AYSO. Nobody's playing games here. Nobody's making a point or dying on a type of hill because somebody said something. You can be and I'm not saying that there's anything going on behind the scenes, but you know as well as I do that this is big boy and big girl type of stuff here. And you play the players that you think are going to win, because that's what you're going to be judged upon. And if Greg Berhalter doesn't feel at this point that Gio Reyna is going to help his team win, then he's there to make that decision. He is a good talent, and it would be nice to see him on the field. And who knows, maybe against the Netherlands, he ends up coming on the field. I don't think he's going to start, but if he comes on the field, maybe he makes that difference right now. But I don't think that this is a distraction in terms of what's going on behind the scenes with this team. I'm sure Gio's not happy about it, but no player's happy that's not playing. I don't think he's being a cancer or anything, but ultimately, Greg Berhalter, things have gone well, and you got to trust him given the track record so far.
Yeah, and also, great college basketball players and great college football players enter the transfer portal in great programs. Sometimes people are unhappy. You're not going to get a roster where everybody is getting the minutes they want, especially on a national team. So Pulisic's injury, if you had to guess today, play or not, I don't think, listen, goals have been hard. So Pulisic to me feels his skill would be really missed. Do you think he plays today?
Oh, 100% he plays on Saturday. As a matter of fact, our own Jenny Taft just reported from the camp that she interviewed him. And he gave that smile, and you could tell that this is a guy who, while he was hurt, he's recovered. He's going to be fine. I think he's going to be 100%. Will he have some soreness? Yeah, but he's shown in this tournament, he's grown through this tournament, that he's gone from a boy to a man, to be quite honest. He had that wonderful moment. Obviously, he sacrificed for himself, his team, and his country. Had to go to the hospital. But you saw him after. He actually greeted his team when they got back to the hotel, because he came from the hospital right to the hotel. I mean, this guy was smiling. And this is a shy guy. This is a, you know, aw shucks type of personality off the field. But on the field, you know, he had his moment. He is a and just from a practical perspective, I think that there is nobody on the team that the Netherlands would game plan for other than Christian Pulisic. That's how important he has become to this team in terms of taking players on and really causing problems for whoever the U.S. is playing.
Finally, Qatar got criticism. It's not an ideal site given the weather. It'd probably be more comfortable in Ireland right now. But be that as it may, your takeaway, your honest sort of takeaway on how you've been treated as a site, just kind of the entire spectacle of it so far.
Look, I mean, from a weather perspective, it's been great, to be quite honest with you. And they moved it to November and December to appease FIFA that was really concerned. They also have climate control in the stadium. So it's been pristine conditions on the field and pristine conditions also for the fans in those areas. The Qataris have been wonderful. They have treated us incredibly. You know, everything has been has worked the way that they said it was going to work. And look, this is an advertisement to the world. From a soccer perspective, their team did not go on, so that didn't quite work out the way that they wanted in terms of Qatar. But the actual tournament, we've had some wonderful games on the field, and I think that ultimately it's going to be a positive message and a message about a country and culture that is evolving, that is changing, that is doing things in order to, you know, be part of the world in 2022 and beyond, especially if you want to have that global commerce and that global travel and all the different stuff that's going on. So, look, I can only tell you from being here on the ground that everybody has been wonderful, and from a soccer perspective, it's been a really cool and interesting tournament.
Alexi Lawless, I love your Twitter account. It's one of my favorites. I really do. You and Colin Quinn, the comedian, I think are my two.
I know Colin, yeah.
Yeah, my two favorite accounts. You know how highly I think of you and your work, and I have loved every second of this. Canada has let me down. That was my dark horse pick to be really dynamic, but instead, maybe it's us. I should be more.
It's us, my friend. Hey, listen, before you let me go here, just gonna tell your viewers and your listeners out there that you have been a champion for this game for a long time, and I know you have made a point of putting it in your soccer spectrum out there, in your palette of sports out there, and you've learned along the way, and you have been, you know, it's really important because obviously you come from more traditional American sports, but you recognized early on that this was going to grow, this was going to get bigger. Even back in our ESPN days, you sought people out to learn about the game, and I appreciate that. The soccer folks out there appreciate that, and I think that it has made you better because you have a responsibility, as you know, that have a knowledge of all the sports that are going on, especially the ones that are going to continue to get bigger and bigger. I think we're seeing huge numbers in terms of people that are coming into the soccer tent. You've been there all along, so I really appreciate that, my friend.
Alexi Lawless, Fox Sports, crushing it. Thanks, buddy.
All right, see ya.
Yep. No, it's been fun. I think it's beautiful. You know, they call it the beautiful game. One of the things I was always attracted about is that as you get the over-commercialization of all these sports, two 45-minute uninterrupted halves. It's quick, man. Starts at 4. I'm like, honey, I'll be in the car by 5:50. Let's go to the restaurant. I mean, NBA, and I love the NBA. Good hell. Last 2 minutes of a big game, it's just agonizing. That's why my wife likes going to, like, fights, like UFC. Hour. Let's go. Party. Soccer is beautiful. It's fluid. Don't be in the, you know, you don't have to like it. I don't care. I love it. I could care less if you like it. I mean, I know people that live for baseball. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched an entire regular season baseball game. Now, Dodgers in the playoffs, Yanks in the playoffs. Playoff games are different. But, I mean, it's just part of the enjoyment of soccer to me is the fluidity of it. It's just, it starts, it goes. And that Iran last 20 minutes, there was no goal scored. Pins and needles. I mean, really, I was getting angry. I was like, okay. John Strong, the announcer, who's a great story, went to Lake Oswego High School and is now like the voice of American soccer. Just a great story. He's like, somebody get it out of here. I'm like, yes, that's exactly. Just kick it out. Get it out of the zone. Ryan with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, Colin, this just in. We just have a little bit of breaking news coming out.
What?
Although, unfortunately, not that surprising. The Michigan running back, Blake Corum, is opting for surgery, so he is officially done for the remainder of their season. He had that injury going into the game against Ohio State, was very limited for the most part, although he did play in little spots. So he is opting for surgery. No Big Ten championship game for him. No potential college football playoff game for him if they win and continue to advance. So a great story, a great season for him. But that injury has ended his season. So now let's dive in on some NFL.
Sure.
The drama never ends for Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, right. The latest example of this, his former teammate, Patrick Peterson, on his All Things Covered podcast with Bryant McFadden. Well, you'll hear Bryant talk first, and this is what they said about Kyler Murray, how he treats his head coach, Cliff Kingsbury.
Vocally, Kyler Murray is talking about, and I don't like how he's doing that. I think he should keep some things privately, but it tells me he doesn't care about his head coach. And he's putting everything on the head coach, basically saying,
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of fact.
And, of course, Kyler's response to this on Twitter after these comments started to go viral was, this isn't true. You are on some weird blank at P2, which is Patrick Peterson's Twitter handle. You got my number. If you really felt like this as a big bro or a mentor, you're supposed to call me and tell me, not drag me so your podcast can grow.
That's funny. It's I appreciate when guys say things that are uncomfortable. And I've supported Kyler Murray, and I think he's sick talented.
Yeah.
I think he throws the prettiest ball in the league, but prettier than Mahomes and Josh Allen. It's the prettiest ball in the league, but he's like difficult. I think we can say
Absolutely.
That officially.
Yeah. No, I think with Kyler, it's obviously been difficult because they've done so much. I mean, they had Josh Rosen. They were willing to move off him after 1 year to go with Kyler. They got him Cliff Kingsbury, who they've had a long history with. They went and got him DeAndre Hopkins. They went and traded for Hollywood Brown from the Ravens. They got him Zach Ertz. Like, they have really done everything they can to really make this a success for Kyler Murray. They were improving every year up until this year. So do you toss this year out, or do you look at it and go, clearly he's unhappy, and do we need to make him happy? They just gave Cliff Kingsbury an extension, so
Arizona's in a better spot than Denver. At least they have draft picks.
Sure.
And at least Kyler's in his prime.
Sure.
That's something.
All right, let's move it along to this. You've spent a lot of time talking about Jeff Howe of The Athletic's article this morning. We had him on the show earlier about a potential reunion between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. He's talking about the quarterback carousel, mostly hypothetical, a little bit of reporting in there as well. Apparently, Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they have some rabbit ears because they've already heard all this chatter and they're already trying to shout down all of the noise. Patriots reporter Mike Reese was on the Sports Hub in Boston and said this about the Patriots, that they are, quote, in full commitment to Mac. Make no mistake about it. They're all in on Mac.
Oh,
so
right.
As we talk about this, they are not second-guessing that position.
Well,
that's quite a quick, swift response to what is just a bit of a think piece, hypothetical, fun column.
Well, I think Jeff is accurate and
absolutely
has good sources. And so The Athletic's great. They got real journalists. And so when they write stuff, it's credible. I DM occasionally with some of the writers, and Jeff's very, very credible to me.
Yeah. And I mean, I think also for the Patriots after what happened earlier this season, which you had talked about being happy with Zappy and, you know, doing some maybe Mac is whack type of discussions. there was a weird quarterback situation that they had earlier this season. So I think anytime they see a little bit of smoke, maybe some embers smoldering about some other rumors starting, they're quick to try and stomp that out and move past it.
No, that's what big companies do.
And we'll wrap it up with this. It was a bit of a surprise when the Chiefs did trade up to draft Patrick Mahomes before the MVP, before the Super Bowl. Mahomes was on the New Heights podcast hosted by the Kelce brothers, and he shared some insight about what the draft process was like in Kansas City. He talked about when he met Coach Reed and they were going through play after play after play, just trying to quiz him. And he revealed this. I'm going to give you a little bit of the inside scoop. He had met with then offensive head coordinator Matt Nagy, and Matt Nagy was such a fan of Mahomes, he gave him all the plays ahead of time. So Mahomes said, I stayed up all night studying the plays over and over and over again. I absolutely crushed that interview with Andy with Andy Reid. And he goes, I was also hearing rumors that some teams later in the draft might draft me. So then I told Andy Reid, hey, there's a couple of teams that might draft me, so if I get past 12, I don't know if I'll be available. Well, the Chiefs ended up trading up and drafting him at 10. So you got to love those little nuggets when the players finally want to come out and tell you what really happened behind
the
scenes.
Listen, if you were Mahomes and you did your homework and you knew Andy Reid, who got like B quarterbacks. I mean, Donovan McNabb was always like a B+, got him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, align yourself with the best possible scenario. That's why the Jordan Love thing's fascinating. Jordan Love could get his first opportunity if they traded Aaron with like a left tackle star, a running back star, emerging stars at receiver. That's not the way it works. Right. You always get a bad O-line, a second-tier wide receiver.
You could be Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
Yeah, you don't have the right I mean, LaFleur isn't a bust. I think he's totally overvalued. But he's capable.
Sure.
I don't think when he goes up against a Vrabel or a Shanahan, I feel like he just doesn't make the adjustments the better coaches do.
Right. He might not be top five in the league, but he's certainly
he's
not.
Capable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which is what overwhelmingly most of the coaches are. Somewhere between like 7 and 20. That's, you know, obviously math-wise, that's where they're at. Right. A big chunk. Ryan with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
And what I mean by that is, generally, you're going to have top five quarterbacks in the league, and they're going to stay there for about a decade. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Herbert, Burrow, they're not, unless they're hurt, they're going to stay there. So the most quarterbacks coming in are going to be somewhere between like 6 and 15. If they're a bust, they're gone very quickly. Nobody's coming in that's smarter than Belichick and Andy Reid anytime soon. Like, so, you know, most of your coaches that get a shot, even if Nick Sirianni's the guy, he's probably somewhere between like 7 and 15. Great stands the test of time. Could be a law partner, could be a surgeon at your local hospital, just not a lot of great. Bruce Feldman's around the corner. We got a college football playoff coming. Cannot wait. Start it today, I'm ready.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season.
This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card cash rewards, or let's talk Discover. Cash in any amount at any time. Redeem it. Discover.com/redeem rewards. His name is Bruce Feldman. He's a writer for The Athletic, Fox Sports college football reporter. So let's, first of all, let's get to the things at hand. USC Utah Friday on Fox, Michigan Purdue Saturday night. I've been very cautiously optimistic with USC, Bruce. I said 9-3, good bowl game. They have absolutely been well coached and gotten better in several units. They are a better team today. When Eric Gentry plays, the defense is at least situationally better. I kind of think USC wins comfortably against Utah. How do you view that game?
I agree with you, Colin. I mean, last time out, Utah got him in the second half. Really, it was no fault of the offense of USC. It was ultimately Cam Rising just kept on making plays.
Yeah.
To me, the biggest difference, Colin, because I'm kind of where you said you were as well, 9-3-ish expectations. Look, if you go look back at that UCLA game a couple of weeks ago, you know, UCLA had the ball and had a chance to win in the last minute and a half or so, and DTR gets picked off by Corey Foreman and makes a really good play. To me, that kind of epitomizes what's different about where this team is. The offense has been great, probably even better than I think any USC fan could have hoped or expected. But the defense, which is really, really shaky, the one thing you have to give them is they have found a way to make some turnovers. And Alex Grinch has got them playing opportunistic football. And here's a guy like Corey Foreman who came in with a huge reputation, you know, number one player in the country, hadn't done all that much, but in a key moment, makes a big play. They get a turnover, and they are so good on offense that they can just get a couple of plays from the defense. That's enough for them, and I think that's going to make them a playoff team.
You know, what's really interesting, I felt 3 months ago they just couldn't compete with Bama, Georgia, Ohio State. I wasn't sure if they could compete with Clemson. But, you know, seasons unveil the truth. And I even think they could play with Georgia now. I may be nuts, but I think Georgia – I saw Missouri outplay them. I saw parts of the Kentucky game. Georgia Tech gave them problems early. I don't see Georgia as unbeatable. I think they're the best team. But I think TCU and USC could both play with Georgia. Am I nuts?
I don't know about the TCU part. I think USC would be really dangerous for Georgia. To me, it reminds me a lot of a game that happened in the Rose Bowl for Lincoln Riley. He had Baker Mayfield then. I think that when you look at this team, the confidence they're playing with, Caleb Williams is going to run away with the Heisman, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's headed in that direction. I think as great as Baker was in that offense, Caleb is even more of a problem because he is so great at extending plays, making off-platform throws. His receivers, I think, it's a deep group. It's a fast group. I think they're even more dangerous than that team that had Georgia on the ropes. You know, now maybe Georgia's a little better now than they were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, but I think they're dangerous just because of how good, how special, let's say that, the quarterback is, and he is the guy who's the wild card in this game where I think he has them believing they can beat anybody. You know, I think they're dangerous. I'm not saying I guarantee you they'd win that game if it comes to that, but I think they have a puncher's chance because they have the best player in college football, and he is
they are feeding off his energy and his, the way he makes plays.
Yeah, by the way, Michigan's star running back now is out for the rest of the year, Blake Corum. So they beat Ohio State without him. It's different, though, if you can prepare knowing he's not going to play. So, you know, that now, Michigan's not quite the team we thought or would be. Let's talk about – I want to talk about that before we go to the playoff. Part of football that's big to me anyway, Bruce, is an identity. I feel USC quickly has built a little bit of an identity, which is they get turnovers and hand it to an all-star cast on offense. And that's their identity. They're ball hawking. You can gash them against the run, but they punch the ball out. They go. That's their identity. They're going for turnovers because they know to a game they're going to get a touchdown on one. So my issue with Ohio State these days isn't their recruiting or that Ryan Day can't coach. I'm not sure what their identity is. I grew up, they were linebackers, edge rushers, physical. Bruce, they're not as physical. Utah, Oregon, Michigan, I see teams gash them. What do you make of what's happened in the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry?
You know, Colin, being down on the field and around the Michigan sideline last week, you know, for that game, the thing that jumped out at me was Michigan had so much confidence that they were the tougher, more physical, more resilient team. And eventually, Ohio State broke in the second half. Michigan outscored them 28-3. We talk about Blake Corum. We knew going into that game right before from talking to people on the, you know, around Michigan, Blake Corum was going to play, and he was not going to be the same guy. Just not dynamic. You weren't going to see the jump cut. You know, he was a leader, and he would help them from a presence standpoint, but he could not give them what they need. Donovan Edwards, really limited in terms of playing with a cast on his hand, but he still hit two huge runs on them that broke the game wide open. But I think it comes back to right now, you have one team in Michigan which has so much belief and confidence. Jim Harbaugh, when he got Stanford going from a wretched program into a powerhouse, said he was going to build a bully of the West Coast, and he did that. He has done it again in Michigan, and these guys believe. And I think even to tie it back a little to the USC thing about their identity, I think USC guys believe. They believe in Caleb, and now this thing is, and certainly in Lincoln, this thing is carried over to the defensive guys. Again, they're nowhere, it's not like they're the 85 Bears, but they know that they can make some plays, and I think that is something they're hanging their hats on. And when that happens with college guys who are, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, I think it makes them really dangerous because I think they just, they feel it. And the other team, if they don't, and again, I saw this, I heard this from the Michigan players in the middle of the game. They felt like they pointed over at Ohio State, and they just felt like Ohio State doesn't have the same level of toughness, and they were going to fold. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened last week.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce Feldman, he's there for the biggest games. We both like USC a little more comfortably. So I, for years and years, Bruce, you know, I take pride in the fact that I move off stuff. If you give me new information, I'm willing to flip and change. I'm not real rigid as a guy or stubborn. I'm looking for new stuff all the time. I was an anti-playoff guy. And then just over the course of time, my takeaway is with Alabama's dominance, the sport's becoming too regional, and it's a sport I love. And so I think this year the ratings, since they've been tracking them, more minutes of college football have been watched this year than any time in the last 6 years since they've tracked the minutes of college football watch, pregame shows, postgame shows, games. And I think a large degree of that is USC's better. You know, there's less regionalization. The West Coast has meant more this year. And you bring in L.A., the Bay Area, Seattle, big markets. So I am pro-playoff. I don't think it makes Tennessee, Alabama, or Bama, Auburn irrelevant. Those are still classic matchups and great games. Any apprehension about the playoff, though, from Bruce Feldman?
No, because I think for the people who go, look, if Michigan-Ohio State game wouldn't be as big as it was last week because the loser would still be in the playoff. You know what? If TCU loses or if USC loses, especially if USC loses, there's a decent, and if not, there's a good chance Ohio State would be in the playoff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it diminishes. What I think it will do is a bunch of other games that most people write off you know, like in terms of you have a national appeal for the game.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now it has playoff implications when they're the 8, 9, 10,
yes.
11, 12, all the way down to like 16 or 17 team, Colin. They're just not the nationally relevant games. Now I think they will be, and I think that ultimately that's a really good thing for the sport.
Listen, I'm going to admit maybe sometimes I'm an antagonist. I love Harbaugh and all his weirdness and quirkiness. I'm sorry. I know he's the worst interview. He's hard. I love seeing him win. I really do. What's your relationship with Jim?
You know, he's always tells you what's on his mind in that one point. And I think, you know, he is good for college football.
Yes.
You know, what he did at Stanford was amazing. What he even did for the Niners when they were bad and he got them to the Super Bowl, really impressive. What he's done, it's taken him a while. You know, I did a big story in The Athletic a few weeks ago about how they changed the culture, what has changed in the last 2 years. But I think this guy, you know, when Michigan football is rolling, it is a massive brand. That fan base was starved. I mean, how many times they've heard on our air or other places, Urban Meyer was 7-0 against them. I mean, I think they wanted to puke after hearing it so many times.
Right.
And I think for them the last two seasons, not just to beat Ohio State, but to like bludgeon them and blow them off the field, I think that has like energized a lot of people who probably had, you know, the fatigue of Ohio State and
yeah.
just kind of the status quo. And Jim Harbaugh gets off the mat. Remember, he was 2-4 going into, you know, coming off of 2020, took a big pay cut. A lot of people had him on the hot seat. And then all of a sudden now they have dominated the Big Ten, and they're going to, looks like, if they obviously, you know, win the Big Ten against Purdue this weekend, you know, they're probably going to be the number two seed. And, you know, even without Blake Corum, they're going to be a tough out for somebody to, because they are so physical
yeah.
and have such belief in their identity.
Yep. And I think that is so important. You got to give employees an understanding of what they are so they can lean into it. And I think right now Ohio State's a little lost on that. And I think USC's got it. Michigan's got a style. Clemson, I watch Clemson. I'm not sure what their offensive identity is. I'll take less talent, slightly less talent, and an identity because I just love watching Michigan play. Bruce Feldman, New York Times bestsellers, Fox Sports, biggest games. He's always there, incredibly connected. At The Athletic, read him regularly. Bruce, as always, you're tremendous. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Colin. We'll see you soon.
All right, Bruce Feldman. We got journalism on the show today. May not be me, but we know the phone numbers of journalists, and we bring them on. I went out last night, Pizzana in Brentwood, and just gorged myself on pizza.
1 minute.
Just to an unhealthy level, it was so good.
Is there any other way to eat pizza, to be honest? No, who goes, I'll have one slice of pizza, please?
I don't get it. Oh, I just went nuts. It was family time, my son, my daughter. And I'm like, I'm going in. I'm going all in on this. Had an Italian beer, pretended like I ate some chopped salad, and just wolfed down a pizza. So good. 30. The best. Alexi Lawless, Bruce Feldman, Greg Cosell, Jeff Howe. That was fun. Ryan, Greg, we're all going to be back tomorrow doing the same thing, radio only. May shower, only difference. Not sure. I said May. Poor Ann. All right, live in Los Angeles. It's been The Herd.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.